This is our second, really our second go-around. We started this ministry about a year ago. This room was full in May of last year. We did two trainings last year in May. Well, there she is. So what you're going to hear today is kind of the outworking. In a way, they were our guinea pigs, and we learned a lot. And so hopefully this year we'll have a little bit of experience behind us and a little bit more understanding of what we need and how you can most effectively serve your community and serve the church. We're really grateful that you're here. I will tell you that I'm technologically challenged, so we're going to try to do this PowerPoint deal because I don't love PowerPoint for specifically this reason, because half the time it doesn't work, which is very stressful. But in this particular instance, this is a lot of information, and so we always feel like it's helpful when there's a lot to give you for you to be able to look at it and hear me talk at the same time. I will tell you that you'll get some of this in writing. Probably about the 1st of September, we'll send some iteration of this whole presentation to all of our care coordinators. So you don't need to feel the need to write everything down today. I want you to feel the freedom just to listen and relax, and we'll get you this information in writing before too long. As we think about the opportunity that the care coordinator adventure affords us, we've had this verse in our minds, 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply. And when we come to this epistle, we know that Paul is speaking here very specifically to the church. He's speaking to the church, and he's saying, above all, love each other deeply. And at the end of the day, that's what we're hoping will happen through the community care initiative. We, in our women's ministry at Christ Covenant, you may know this, but our goal really as a ministry is to advance the larger vision of the church. We really are not trying to create a silo ministry where we do our own thing and we create our own events and make our own plans. Our goal ultimately is to help you and help all of the women in the church to lean into what the pastors and the elders are wanting the church to focus on. And so this really is about a broader church vision. At the end of the day, we're hoping that the community care initiative moves us in this direction. That together, as we advance on the community care mission, that we will love one another deeply. So we're really grateful that you're here. So our goals for this morning are to make this thing work. That's our first goal. What am I doing wrong? Oh, there it is. It's just slow. Goals for today. Okay. The first is just to help you to understand how the community care ministry fits into the structure of women's ministries and how it fits into the structure of the church as a whole. We want to help you to understand the mission of the ministry, and we want you to know how we're hoping to accomplish the mission that we have before us. You will get some of this in writing, which I think it will be helpful. If you think of questions as we go along, if you'll just make a note of those and hold them till the end, we may answer your questions along the way, but we'll have time. We've left time at the end of our time together this morning to answer your questions. So let's talk about the Women's Community Care mission. This is our mission statement. Yes, this is our mission statement. Where am I supposed to point this? The Women's Community Care Ministry will assist the Women's Ministry Leadership Team and the pastoral staff of Christ Covenant to ensure that every woman in the church, and by extension, her family, has the opportunity to be known, connected, and cared for. So let's break that down just so you can understand a little bit more fully what we're looking for. The Women's Community Care Ministry, that's you. So the Lord has provided more than 80 women to serve as care coordinators, serving each of our 7 life stage communities in the church. So together, you form the community care ministry. And you are serving the women's ministry leadership team. Now, you may not know, you may know, but the women's ministry leadership team at our church has about 20 members. It is made up of at least two, what we're called liaisons, from each of the life stage communities. So we have two liaisons from 1822, two from young families, two from student families, or three. And then we also have the coordinators of all five of our ongoing ministries to women. So Bible studies, Anchor, T2, Shepherdess, Maria. They all sit on that team together. So what you're doing in here is an extension of that team. The truth is that when we first launched that team, probably 5 or 6 years ago, what we're hoping to accomplish here, we thought we would accomplish there. So at the time, we asked the two liaisons from each community to do what we're asking all of y'all to do today. And it didn't take long for us to realize what we were asking was too much. And so we've built in another layer of shepherding care, and that's what you all are. So you're serving the women's ministries leadership team and the pastoral staff. And every woman in the church, so by every woman in the church, we mean every woman who is a member of the church. That's super important, and we'll keep coming back to that. And that's going to become really important in the days to come. But we really see this opportunity for women as a privilege. There is no way we can track every woman attending the church. And so we've limited this to every woman who is a member of the church. There's more than 600 right now. So what does it mean to be known? What does it mean to be known? Yep. Oh, there you go. To be known. So if I were to ask what you think it means to be known, we would have 17 different opinions. And so we really had to narrow it down. What exactly are we asking from you all? When we say we want every woman in the church to be known, what does that mean? This is what it means, that someone in the church knows you by name and knows at least a few things about you. This is not your very best friend who knows all of your deep secrets and your whole history as a woman in the church. It means basically that someone knows who you are, a face with a name, and they know a few things about you. What does it mean to be connected? To be connected means you are invited and encouraged to participate in community life at Christ Covenant through many and various opportunities. So that might include Sunday school, it might include women's ministries, it might include events, it would include church-wide events. What does it mean to be connected? It means somehow you as a woman are invited and encouraged to participate in the body life of the church. To be cared for means you have access to shepherding resources and other means of assistance as the needs arise. So you're not expected. Hear me from the very beginning. If you have 8 women in your care group, you're not expected to be their best friend. You're not expected to know everything there is to know. You're expected to know a few things about each of the women in the church. You're expected to invite her into the body life of the church as it seems appropriate for her. And you're expected to care for her, not by meeting all of her needs, but by leading her to people who can help to meet her needs. So you really need to be sort of an expert in all of the resources that we have as a church, and you will be. We'll give you all that you need to have that. So does that make sense? The Women's Community Care Ministry will assist the Women's Ministries Leadership Team and the Pastoral Staff of Christ Covenant to ensure that every woman in the church, and by extension her family, has the opportunity to be known, connected, and cared for. Let me tell you just a minute about that, and by extension, her family. I had a good conversation with Kevin this week about this ministry. I really wanted him to know what we were doing and to be encouraged and to affirm what we're doing, which he did heartily. And he was telling me that at NRC, the church where he was before, as with many churches, what we're trying to accomplish here is accomplished through the elders. And so in many churches, the elders are given a group of people that they're supposed to care for. In his case, it was they each had 50 people. Each elder had 50 people. And so we talked a little bit about that, and I told them that we've done that. We've pretty much done, in my 25 years, every iteration of shepherding care that you could possibly imagine. You know, how will we make sure our people are cared for? And we've tried everything we know. And sometimes some things have worked better than others. One of the things that we love about this opportunity is that when you know, connect, and care for a woman, in all likelihood, you know, connect, and care for her family. Do you know what I'm saying? So I told Kevin that if an elder calls my husband, even an elder that he knows. You know, say Joe Spencer calls my husband and says, "Hey, Chaz, how you doing?" He would say, "Oh, we're great. Everything's fine." Okay? If Barb Spencer calls me and says, "How are you doing?" I'm going to tell her, you know, how my kids in Connecticut are doing and when we're planning to go and how old my grandchildren are. And would you like to see a picture or six, you know? And Charlie's retired and here's how we're doing. You know, you're going to get a whole lot more information from a woman than you are going to get just by nature from a man. And so there is this sense that when we are caring for women, you get this, the floodgate sort of opens. And you have the opportunity to have an influence over her family as well. And you know more about what's going on in their home. That's just the nature of womanhood, you know? It's one of the ways that we are intrinsically, inherently different from men. And so our hope is that we're not taking over for the session and caring for God's people here. We're coming alongside the session and giving them the information that they need to care for the people in the church. Does that make sense? Okay. So the structure of the ministry, let's talk about that just for a minute. This, if you can see it, I forgot that the last time we did this, we said we were going to change the color of those boxes because it's hard for you to read. But this is kind of an illustration that's representative of the structure in every community. So every community has two liaisons. So the box on the far, that side, right, or left, that one over there. That represents one of two or three people on our team, okay? And every liaison has several community care coordinators. This just shows two. But every community care coordinator then has several women in her group. This just shows three. Every woman in the church, every member is placed strategically into a care group. Most communities have at least six care coordinators. Most care groups will have between 6 and 10 women in them. Every care group has a coordinator. That's you. Is there another one on that slide? Yeah. And care coordinators are accountable to the liaison. Okay? Every community has some number of care coordinators. Every woman who is a member of the church is in a care group. Now, this is every woman who's a member of the church, this is really important, is in a care group regardless of whether or not she attends Sunday school. Okay, so most of you who are here, who are active in your Sunday school class, you think of your community in terms of your Sunday school class. And I'm telling you that only about 30% of our members are attending their Sunday school class. So whatever number of people are in your class, you add another, you triple that, and that's the number of people that your pastor is responsible for. So you've got to broaden your perspective beyond Sunday school when you think in terms of your community and in fact in terms of your community care group. Okay? Each care group is given the freedom, each community is given the freedom to assemble care groups in whatever way works for them. So whatever works for young pros does not necessarily work for senior adults. Those pastors by the elders are given a lot of lenience and leeway about how they manage their community. And so how Bruce leads is very different from how Dave Baxter leads. And so we've asked the pastors, what's the best way for us to serve you? And so each community looks a little bit different. So some communities have more care groups than others. Some care groups have more members in them than others. So I think student families, they told us, has 10 or 12 women in each care group, whereas senior adults have 6 or 7 in their care groups. Now you can imagine why that is. You know, senior adult women do not have the capacity to care for 12 people. And so they've tried to have more care groups that are smaller. Does that make sense? So every community does not look the same across the board. Now we'll talk about this again in a minute, but I want you to hear this. There was some confusion about this when we first launched this initiative. These care groups are not small groups per se. In other words, they're not intended to function as other small groups do in our church. The primary goal in these groups is not the women's relationships to one another. So you're not necessarily trying to have them to your house and do things together. The most important relationships in that group are the relationships of the women to you as a care coordinator and the women to their church. Now, you might decide as a care coordinator that you want to do something with your group, which I would love, but that's definitely not an obligation. And it doesn't always work, because you could have three women in your group who work, two who homeschool, and one who's a single person who travels a lot. So it may not work. So the main goal is for you to connect that woman to the church and her connection to you. We'll get more into that in a minute, but that matters. This ministry is a pathway to relationships, but they may not be relationships in your group. They may be relationships in Maria or T2 or children's ministries or wherever you escort them to be connected. You are the care coordinators. Together, you form our care coordinator ministry. You are accountable to your liaison. Does everybody know who their liaison is? It's probably the person who recruited you. A couple of them are in this room. But you're accountable to them. They're accountable to our team and to our pastors and elders, okay? You can come to me or Teresa if you have a question, but in all likelihood, we aren't going to know the answer, and we're going to send you to your liaison, okay? Because there's no way we can keep up with what's going on with 80 different groups. All right, let's talk for just a minute about the profile of a care coordinator. That's you. Isn't that cute? That's you, care coordinators. Every care coordinator member is unique. You guys are all different, which we love. But there are a few things that you share in common. One is that you are a member of Christ's Covenant. One is that you are active in community life, and hopefully that means Sunday school, it may mean women's ministries, it may mean, we want you to be, if you're gonna lead people to be connected to the church, you need to be connected to the church. So we've chosen people that we hope are connected to the church, and we like for you to be active in women's ministries. We hope if you're not, that you will grow toward that end. We want you to be able to be have integrity as you're inviting women into these things. And so you need to know something of them. And so your involvement in our ministries is important. What are the general expectations of a care coordinator? The general expectations of a care coordinator. Now, we know that every coordinator is different. And so we have made it a high value for us with you all is freedom and flexibility. We're not going to micromanage you. We want you to have the creativity and freedom and flexibility to fulfill this role in whatever way suits you and suits the women in your care group. But there are a few sort of general expectations that should be understood for every care coordinator. So we hope that every care coordinator will be interested in every woman in her group. That she'll be interested. So that means she wants to learn, to know something about each one. It means that she'll know some details about her life. Is she married? Is she not? Does she have children? Are they at home? Is she working? And that she will know, so that's how, to help her to know how to pray. And that she'll follow up when there's a concern. So be interested in every woman in her group. Be invested in every woman in her group. Again, at different levels with different people who have different needs. But the care coordinator will offer to help as appropriate. So you need to know the women in your group, because what one woman needs and wants will be totally different from another person. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But we're expecting that you know that. If one of your women in your group doesn't read email, you don't send her emails. You know, you don't communicate with everybody that way if that doesn't work. If one woman in your group really likes to have a phone conversation, then you make it your goal to have a phone conversation with her on a somewhat regular basis. You're connecting every woman. You have to be invested in order to connect her to ministry. You get to know her, you get to know what she needs, and you're willing to spend the time and the energy to encourage her and escort her into ministry if you can. Be invitational. Be invitational. That's a word that we picked up last spring, and we've really, it feels so instructive for me, because it's not my nature necessarily to be invitational. I'm kind of a introvert. I like to do things by myself. So being invitational is hard for me. But I want our church, I want our women to be invitational, to be looking for opportunities to bring women along with them to the things that they're doing that are natural. You don't necessarily have to go out of your way. Just invite people to come along with you to the things that you are doing. That you would create opportunities as appropriate to be together one-on-one with women who need you. And that you would be invitational as you are attending events and gatherings and even worship. We're going to talk more about this, but you know, it is not easy to connect here. Even if you're really, really animated, it's hard to walk in a room of 125 people and be the new person. It's hard to constantly go and put yourself in a place when you're the new person. And so thinking for that and looking for people and inviting them to the things that you're already coming to is a really big deal. If you know someone who's in your group who doesn't have anybody to sit with in church, that you would just say, hey, I usually sit in the balcony on the left side of the sound booth. Why don't you come find us and sit with us on Sunday mornings? That's just not that hard. Okay? So we need care coordinators to be interested, to be invested, to be invitational. We want our women to be prayed for on a regular basis. So we want you to be, we want them to hear that you are praying for them. I don't think I put that on. Oh yeah, I did. Look at that. Pray regularly for each woman in our group. This is something that you can do regardless of the woman's response to you. If you never hear from one of the women in your group, which we're going to talk about in a minute, you can pray for her. Put her name on your mirror. Put a sticky note on your window, above your sink. Pray for her on a regular basis. And then finally, the last thing that we want you to be sure to do is to share information with your liaisons and pastors and elders as it's appropriate. We'll talk more about that in a minute. So those are sort of the general expectations of every care coordinator. You will all do that differently. We want you to do it differently. You will note, one thing you will note that's absent on here is the attendance at meetings or gatherings. This is the last meeting that we'll ask you, right? Just wanted to be sure that that was right. Last year, some of our liaison groups met with their pastors. I think some people had breakfast and stuff and the pastors came, and I'm not sure if we'd do that again this year. Really, that's up to the pastor. But really, we've worked really hard to make this super user friendly for you. We're not asking you to come to meetings. You will not get inundated with emails from us. We're asking you to do your thing and be faithful. We've invited women who we think are mature, who love the church, and so we trust you. And so we're not going to ask you to attend a bunch of meetings or respond to a bunch of communication. This is it. But these are the things that we will expect and we hope you will accomplish on some level. So I want to just give you an idea of the support systems that are in place for you. And you need to know that, again, you're going to get this in writing. As you're talking to women and connecting with them, we want to be sure that if you find out that a family's in need, in whatever way that might be, that you're aware of the support systems that are in place for you. You do not have to be all things to all of the women in your group. I feel one of the blessings, I mean, there's a lot of things that are hard about being a member of a church of 2,000, but there's a lot of things that are great about it too, and this is one of them. We have plenty of people in place to help in a lot of different ways. So you just need to be aware of those things. If you learn of a woman or a family in need, probably the first thing you should do is contact your liaison and just say, hey, and you need to ask her permission. May I please share this with my liaison? And so we can figure out how to best help you. Talk to the liaison first. Most community pastors, so Dave and Bruce and Brian, those guys, most of them will want you to talk to your liaison first, so your liaison can help you determine what needs to happen next. That keeps Mike Miller from getting calls from all 25, you know, women who are in crisis in his 25 coordinators who have women who are struggling. It helps us to determine who do we really need to get Mike involved in. We're trying to protect Mike from being involved in things that he doesn't need to be involved in. Sidebar, one of the things that I love about this ministry, and I will tell you that we have a long way to go, and Teresa's going to talk more about this in a minute. When you have 600 or 700 women that you're trying to care for, this is a huge ship that we're driving here, and so it's been a little bit slow, but we have a number of stories of things that our pastors have learned, shepherding issues, pastoral concerns, just hurt feelings that our pastors have learned about through the care coordinator ministry this last year, where they've really been able to get involved in a family's life and escort them back into a healthy relationship to the church. My hope is, one of the things that my personal goal, Teresa and I, long for, is that through this ministry, we will lighten the load that our pastors carry. You know, I watch these guys walk around wearing the weight of 2,000 people on their shoulders, and there's just no way that they can be aware of all the needs, and yet they feel the weight of being aware of all the needs. And so, I mean, I watch Mike Miller. He has a, how many are in that community, Connie? 230, something like that? So 235 families. And he just said to me the other day, I feel so grateful that I have a sense that if there's a situation, I will know about it because these women are involved. I don't need to go around wondering. And if I do wonder, if I go, huh, I wonder where Teresa and Andy are. I haven't seen them in a while. He can look down his list and go, oh, Susan is her care coordinator. I'm going to call her and see. Have you seen Teresa? Will you check on her? It's a way for them to keep their finger on the pulse of what's happening in their community without them having to do it themselves. They cannot keep up, y'all. They can't keep up. And frankly, it's going to get more challenging. So this is really important. So you first alert your liaison when you realize there's a situation that needs some attention. The liaison can help you determine if the pastor needs to be informed or if there are other help options that might be effective. And maybe the pastor just needs to be alerted that that's the situation, but he doesn't necessarily need to be involved. Some community care pastors want you to contact them directly. Your liaison will let you know that. I can't remember who they are. Maybe Brian. I don't know. I can't remember. But your liaison will tell you what to do. If you have a concern, contact your liaison. As you meet with them, they'll help you define the appropriate pathways to support. So here's some, just so you're aware, these are some of the means of support that are in place at the church. The Shepherdess Ministry, you should know about this. How many of y'all, does everybody in here know about the Shepherdess? Raise your hand if you don't know what that is. Okay, few. That's a good sign. The Shepherdess Ministry is in place to come alongside women in crisis care and to come alongside elders and pastors as they assist women who are in crisis. June Byram is the coordinator for that ministry. All these people and their contact information you will have in September. We'll send you an updated list because what's in the manuals right now is not updated. So you can contact them directly or you can have the woman contact them. The Grief Share Ministry and the Divorce Care, those are both relatively new. Mary Jo Culver has kind of launched both of those ministries. Grief Share has been incredibly effective here. I mean, incredible, so sweet. It's been a really sweet ministry. That's a ministry that escorts families who have lost a loved one. Doesn't have to be recent. It could be, you know, they're still grieving over somebody that they lost 5-10 years ago. Divorce Care and Divorce Care for Kids are really just launching at our church. We're really excited about that. It is a great ministry. The Set Free Ministry, you should know about. We've heard quite a bit about that recently. Although it won't come up on my slide. Yeah. The Set Free Ministry is a new ministry to sexual strugglers, both the strugglers themselves and their families. So we have small groups now for men, for women, for parents, and for wives. So we're trying to meet the needs of lots of different people who have that kind of challenge in their periphery, whatever that looks like. His abilities. Mercy Needs, our deacons are always looking for ways to deploy themselves in mercy here at the church. Karen Chambers is, this information will be in your notebook, she's our Mercy Ministry Coordinator on our team. So typically you could call her first and she would help you to get connected with a deacon or whatever the need might be if you think it's a mercy need. His Abilities is a ministry to families with special needs. That ministry is near and dear to our hearts and is actually growing. We're looking for lots of ways to come alongside families who have children in their homes with special needs. We have a pretty significant presence on Sunday morning, but that's not all. We have a large community of families here who have children with a range of special needs. So we're looking for ways to partner with the community and to get really involved in their lives and to help them navigate the challenges that they have. So we've got people that we can connect you to for that. Community care groups. You're taking over here? This is Teresa's taking over. Hey, y'all, I'm going to circulate this. Would you just sign this just so we can, we're trying to keep up with who's missing today so we can be sure to get with them as it's appropriate. Go, girl.
Okay, I'm Sharitha, if I haven't met you already. Susan and I work together in the women's ministry. I'm going to talk about the community, community care groups. She talked about this a little bit already. If you haven't already received your information from your liaison, you should be getting that soon, your information about what ladies are in your group of eight. And just a reminder, she said this before a few minutes ago. Remember, this is not a small group. This is a group that you are caring for. When we started this last year, there was a little bit of rumbling. You know, people said, I don't know these people in this group, or these are not my friends, or I don't have anything in common with them. But that is not the purpose of these groups. These groups are not getting together unless you choose to do that. And again, that is not the expectation. It is just for you to care for these people and connect them to the church. But these groups normally are not interacting. The people in the group are generally not interacting with each other. Let me go to the next slide here. So you're going to connect with the women on your list. Let's see here. With some regularity, whatever that looks like for you. We all do things a little differently. You might choose to connect with all the women on your list the first week of the month, or two people the first week, two people the second week, two people the third week. Whatever that looks like for you and with your schedule. We're not going to micromanage that. It's completely up to you. And again, as Susan had mentioned, in whatever way works for you. There's people that we've interacted with in women's ministry who say, I would really rather talk to you on the phone. I don't do email. Some people have said, I don't have a computer. Marguerite even said the other night at a meeting, I've emailed this one lady for 5 or 6 months and I couldn't understand why she never responded back to me. And I realized last week she didn't have a computer. She went to the library and checked her email one day and she saw an email from me and she responded back to me from the library because she finally checked her email 5 months later. So we can't assume that because somebody is not responding, they're not interested. She just didn't have a computer. So who do we call first? First, let's start with women who are not in Sunday Bible school. Last year when we started this, we just kind of attacked the list and called everybody. What we found was a lot of these women who were regularly plugged in, who are coming to Bible study regularly, Sunday school regularly, involved in some type of ministry, children's ministry, women's ministry, a lot of them tended to say, I'm fine, I'm okay, you don't need to call me, you don't need to contact me, I'm really plugged in. And then we kind of had the flip side of the coin. Those who were really disconnected, a lot of them didn't respond either. But it's those people who were really especially concerned about, those who were not hearing from. So we really, those who you're seeing, who you are not seeing on a regular basis are the ones we want you to make a high priority. Those who are not in Sunday school. Since most of you, I would assume, are plugged into your Sunday school class or have a general idea who's coming, or if you're not, you may be in children's ministry on Sunday morning, you may ask your liaison or your pastor who is a regular in Sunday school. Take your list to your liaison pastor, if you're not familiar, who's a regular in Sunday school, and say, who of these ladies would you consider to be a priority? Go to the liaison first, if you are unsure. And they will help guide you with that. Ask them, who are the priority people? And your liaisons have handled, I don't want to say this in a way that comes across wrong, your liaisons have handled these names so many times. They've put people in groups so many times, or they've switched people among groups. So they really know where people are. They really have an idea of if they're coming to Sunday school. Pardon? they really have an idea if people are coming to Sunday school. They really have an idea if they're attending Bible studies or working in children's ministry or whatever. So they're the first ones to really go to and ask if you need some help with knowing where they are. And if they don't know, then they can go and ask the pastors for you to help you. Let's see. Our second kind of tier of priority people is new people. Once people join the church, Mary Jo gives us a list. Peggy, we call, is our administrator, women's ministry administrator. And Mary Jo gives Peggy a list of all the new people who have joined the church. And then Peggy gives that to our liaisons, who distributes that list to all of you. So those people we really want to be on top of right away as soon as they come out, because we really want to help them assimilate, integrate into the church, help them feel a part, help them just get plugged into a Bible study or a Moray group, T2 group, Sunday school class, and be that person that Susan talked about to have somebody to sit with in church. Or, you know, it's hard, again, being in a big place, just finding your small little niche. So we want to be really invitational with those new people. Let's see here. The accuracy of your list. If you call somebody in your community, let's say you're a student families care coordinator, and they say, I'm not in student families anymore, I've moved on to young senior, or to sojourners, then you say, oh, okay, no problem, I'll talk with the liaisons in the sojourners community and I'll make sure they have your name. So then you contact your liaison and you say, so-and-so has moved on to sojourners, and they'll take care of passing on that information to the sojourners liaisons, and then they'll distribute to their care coordinators. They'll make sure they get reassigned. We don't want anybody to fall through the cracks with that. Let's see. If people approach you with difficult questions or concerns, we have talked to pastors about some difficult questions or concerns that might arise, and we have a list of those, some of those questions that might arise in your notebook. So you can read over those, use those as a guide to help you. Of course, probably inevitably, the question or concern they would have that they would ask you would not be one of the ones that are addressed in your notebook. So your response can be, let me check on that for you. Let me get back to you about that. And then you can communicate with your liaison or your pastor about that and get back to that person. Your pastor might also communicate to you about somebody that they have concerns about. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around here a little bit. Never mind that, we talked about that. Just want to make sure I covered everything in this section. Okay, so anyway, difficult questions or concerns, let your liaison know, let your pastor know if you have questions with that. Hope for outcomes is communication and connection. Okay, always ask yourself, do I know something about her? You know, when you get off the phone with that person, have you learned something new about her? Have I connected with her? Do I know something new about her other than what's on the sheet in front of you about her? You know, maybe a like or an interest. Have I connected with her? Have I asked her a personal question? How can I or the church care for? Is there anything that they need from you? Is there anything that they need from the church? Do they need help getting involved with something, getting involved in a ministry, knowing where to go to find help with something? There was a lady, I talked to somebody this week who said, somebody came to their Titus 2 group who had been at the church for 7 years and never had been involved with anything for 7 years. And they decided to come to a Titus 2 group, which met once a month. So they came to this Titus 2 group for 7 years, and their Titus 2 group ended after 2 years. And now this year, this lady is going to join the choir, because after being involved in this ministry, she now had the confidence to go try something else. So it's kind of, you know, holding their hand, inviting them into something, helping, giving them the confidence to try something, do ministry with them, invite them into ministry together. Oops, sorry. If you get the answering machine, no worries. Leave a kind, invitational, warm, welcoming message. They know that you're reaching out, they're caring for them, you're caring for them, you've taken initiative, you've tried to make contact with them, and it's okay if you get the answering machine. You have taken initiative, and just leave a nice warm message. You've invited them to engage. The ultimate outcome is that every woman on your list would begin to feel loved by her church through you. Okay. However, you may only reach a small percentage of your group. We do not want you to be discouraged. I think last year, when we started this, some of our care coordinators got discouraged, because if they had 10 women on their list, they would have 9 who did not respond. And they thought, what am I doing wrong? This is not the ministry for me. This is not my gifting. I should not be doing this. Some women have never responded to the efforts of a care coordinator, but that's okay. You are reaching out, you are making a connection. If you contact a woman on your list, say 6 times throughout the year, and they never respond to you, maybe on the 7th time, they are in a crisis situation and they need something, and they know who they can go to because you have been faithful to make contact to them. Maybe you'll reach out to them 15 times and they will never ever respond to you, but that's okay. You have reached out to them, you have encouraged them, you have been a connection to the church for them. And if we have 600 women in our church and 300 have been reached, 100 have been reached, that's 100 or 300 more than were reached last year. 100 or 300 more than connected in the year before. Our goal is forward progress. Our goal is connection. We know that it is not realistic that we are going to reach out to 600 women and 600 women are going to jump in with both feet. We know that's not going to happen, but the goal is connection. There might be several reasons why the women don't respond. She may not understand the care coordinator ministry. She might think, oh, I'm already in a small group. I'm already in a covenant group. I don't need another group. Well, again, this is where it comes in that you're not creating a small group. You're not inviting her into a small group. You're just there to care for her, make sure somebody's helping connect her. She's very connected and doesn't feel the need for a care coordinator connection. She's very isolated intentionally and is not interested in being invited into the community. So with this, she's either definitely not interested in being invited in, she wants to just stay isolated, or she's insecure about engaging. And it may take a couple times of inviting her to do something for her to have that confidence to engage. For the women on your list that you know are well connected, just try to reach out to them once or twice a year. For those who you know who are not well connected, more of your fringe people, engage with them a little more, reach out to them a little more. But those who are very well engaged, you don't necessarily need to connect with them quite as much. Okay, that's the last one that sucked. For those who are disconnected, please keep trying. Their lack of response should not deter you from your goal. Trust the Lord, keep trying, pray for them every time. Please keep your pastor in the loop. If there's a woman or women who you have reached out to time after time after time and they never respond, keep your liaison and your pastors in the loop about that. Yesterday, I want to encourage you with this. I want to encourage you, not make you feel bad. But yesterday, I got a card from my liaison in the mail. And it was sweet timing because it was my birthday. And it wasn't even a birthday card, but it just happened to come on my birthday. And she wrote a really nice long note. And this is not the expectation at all. Because honestly, for me, I was like, oh, I never write a note that long. But I so appreciated this, and it was such an encouragement to me. So, and you know, people don't write handwritten notes anymore. It's a lost art. And so this really meant a lot. And this goes in my notes of encouragement folder in my office. And I really appreciated this. So just something like this goes a long way. So just keep that in mind. This is just one idea of a way to reach out to one of your ladies or some of your ladies. Talked about that. Okay, making a connection. I expect to hear from us, from women's ministry, from Susan, mainly Susan, or I, mainly Susan. She's going to be managing this. Expect to hear from us with some ideas for conversational content every month, usually around the first week of the month. Our women's ministry newsletter goes out. Around that same time, you will receive an email with some prompts or some ideas of things that you can send out to the ladies in your care group to talk to them about, or questions that you can ask them, or things that you can do to encourage them or to reach out to them. For some people, this is really easy. Some of you in this room are extroverts. Some of you are introverts. Some of you are halfway in between. For some of you, this comes easily. For some of you, this is hard work. But so wherever you fall in that range, these emails that Susan will send will kind of help spur you on, give you ideas of things that you can do to help engage the ladies in your group. If you want to use them, great. You don't have to, but they're just ideas to prompt you as you make connections with them. Pray before reaching out to each of the women. Pray before you talk to them. Pray after you talk to them, and pray with them if you feel like it's appropriate, if they've expressed concerns or cares or situations on the phone with you, you're welcome to ask them if you can pray with them on the phone. You know, Kevin's sermon a couple weeks ago, a lot of times it's just easiest to ask if you can pray right then, because a lot of times when you hang up that phone, you just forget. Write those notes, things they've asked for prayer, write them on their sheets, on their information sheets, so you can keep those in front of you to remember to pray for. Be familiar with her profile before calling. You know, a lot of times those profiles list children on them, or how many children, or what ages. That's good to know. You can ask about their children, or how are their kids, or where are they, or what are they doing, or did you take a child to college this week, or how are they settling in, or that kind of thing. So kind of know what you can, just to prompt some questions as you talk to them. Train yourself to listen, kind of read between the lines, hear what they're saying and what they're not saying. Make notes on your sheet as they talk. And then always ask, how can I pray for you? And as I said, if it seems appropriate, pray with them over the phone, or pray after you hang up the phone with them. As you make notes, you know, use those notes, then the next time you contact them or write them a note or send them an email, refer to that the next time. If they've said to you, oh, I'm gonna be having surgery on such and such a date, you know, that's a great open door for you to follow up with them on the day they have surgery. About a year and a half ago, I had a procedure done on my shoulder, and the day I had that done, when I came out of that procedure, the first person I had a text message from was my care coordinator. So it was very sweet, very thoughtful, and very much appreciated. And it was a different one than the one who sent me this card. So, this clicker has a mind of its own here. Assimilating new members into community care groups. We're almost done, I promise. What's our time look like here? Yes. Liaisons will receive new member information that's pertinent to your community. We talked about that. That'll be passed on to you after new members' classes finish up. They will ask you to add new members to your group as it seems appropriate. If your groups are full, then they'll put them in other groups. Please make the new members a priority. What to expect and what to do. Your notebooks are coming. Like I said, if you don't have them, you should be getting them soon. They should be passed over from your the person you're taking over for. Make a plan that suits you according to your schedule. Expect to hear from your liaison occasionally and be in communication with them. Let them know, give them updates as you talk to your people in your care groups. For every three times I click this, one thing comes up. Send her an update, help the pastors and the women's ministry leadership team. Make an initial contact sometime in the next month or so, and then we'll be sending you a calendar in September. For the year of 2017-2018, sometime over the next week or two, hopefully by next weekend, we will have our new women's ministry brochures out, which is a whole, it's going to be really fun and really exciting. It's going to be a booklet with all our offerings for women's ministry for this year. Everything that Anchor and Bible Studies and Titus 2 and Maria and Shepherdess and Care Groups and all the ministries that fall under women's ministry has to offer for this year. So that'll be something you can have in front of them to tell them what we have to offer. There's a kickoff event on September 14th that will features, not really the right word, but kind of feature our Mercy ministry for this year with Changed Choices. Trisha DeYoung will come and speak. We'll kind of do a get to know you with Trisha. And then a lady from Changed Choices will speak. And we're asking people to wear a favorite jersey from their favorite team. And we're gonna have tailgate snacks and just kind of be a fun, festive evening. So that's a great thing to invite women to in your care groups. Something to help engage them or bring them to get to know some other women. There'll be the Thanksgiving feast coming up in November, the Reformation Conference in October. So that list coming out in September will just give you some options of things that we have coming up, women's ministry and church-wide, to let you know about that you can invite them into. excuse me. But reach out to them, make a contact, make a plan. I think that's all I have. Do any of you have any questions about anything Susan said or I said, Connie?
When will we know who's graduating to the next community and who's coming up and how will that be taken care of? You may have covered it, but I didn't.
No. Well, that's a good question.
The information sheets and all that.
As you know, that's really easy with kids. You know, when you go from first grade to second grade and second grade to third grade. But when you kind of get to be our age, people don't really want to say, okay, now I've turned this age, I should move. So it's kind of when people decide I'm ready to move and then they tell their pastor or they tell their liaison. So for the communities, it doesn't really seem to happen at a certain time. So as we find out about it and as we get that information, then we move it. Like what we have found is a lot of times we've gathered that information as the care coordinators have made the phone calls. And then the people have said, oh, we've decided we're gonna move. And that's how we've learned about it. Sometimes the pastors have found out and they'll tell us and then we'll move it. So then let's say Angela will say to Angela from your class, will say to Tina and Rosalie and Bernie's class, okay, by the way, we need to move so-and-so from Sojourners to Young Family, your Young Seniors. And then Peggy will do a transfer of paperwork to them. So it's kind of nebulous because people kind of decide to do it at different times. So as soon as we find out about it, then the liaisons are really good about saying, okay, we need to get them moved, and then they'll do that transfer of information. Does that help? Okay.
So I guess kind of maybe it's the same question.
Yeah. Well, when you get your list, it's, you know, people are gone, then communicate with your liaison and say, hey, I know these people are gone. Young Pros is really hard because people are in and out of there a lot. That one's really challenging. And even with Young Families, Kari and Mimi have been really on top of the Young Families list, but I know they got a new list last week that had some names on it where they thought, where did these people come from? I'm not sure. So they're constantly like going through those lists, cleaning up those lists, and staying on top of them.
So it's just like, talk to them and see like.
Yeah. So it's, they're really, the liaisons are really good about staying on those lists because they've been managing these names for about a year and a half. So they kind of have a really good idea of where people are, but they're also really counting on you to help them too, because some, they don't know everybody. But let them know if there's names that you think, ooh, I'm not sure about this. And somebody popped up on a young family's list that they thought they were gone, but then somebody said, well, no, they're on hold, they're missionaries, they've been gone a year and a half, but they'll be back in 2 years. And there's just some tricky situations like that that, you know, we as just normal people wouldn't normally know about, you know. So just keep in touch with them and they can help you with that.
Did I hear you say earlier, or Mason said, I'm sorry, that there's some information sent to us? Because, like, I have Karen Troutman's liaison, I'm hearing from her, and so she gave me the book. Just got her name on it, it's got all her notes in it. Am I going to get additional information to put in this about laser light list, or a paper with my name on it?
Excuse me. The notebook that you got from Karen, you will still manage those same ladies. And then you will get some magnets that have your name on it that you can send out to those ladies and say, I'm your new person. I'm your new care coordinator. So that you can, when you make contact with them, you can introduce them as your new care coordinator, and then you can also send them magnets and say, I'm your new person, here's my contact information. And then we'll also send you updated information like calendars and the stuff that Susan talked about with who's responsible for each ministry. So we'll update that information. We just won't send you updated information about those people.
So I'll get a good profile.
Right.
Yeah. Or even like additional family members. I mean, I didn't see the family members.
Oh, that's true. Well, you know what? That's a good question. That is a good question to ask because that would affect your community because people have babies and they wouldn't necessarily be on there.
Not many women have babies.
Okay. Let me check on that. Yeah. If you have somebody, if you're a young families person, it probably really only applies to young families.
I'm student families.
Oh, you're student families. Okay. But if anybody... That's right.
Family.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's not on my list, just for example. Maybe so.
Okay.
I think the
Indies,
they may have more
notes. Yeah. Well, maybe if you're in a community that has additional family members, or if the family situation has changed, we could ask for, we could get you updated profile information for them. Ask your liaison for an updated profile information if you need it on somebody.
Okay.
Yeah, Denise?
Teresa, you may want to address too, because you may have a family that technically by our definition falls into student families,
right,
but for whatever reason they choose to either attend sojourners or young families, still make that contact and be invitational. You know, I think the pastors handle it a little differently on a case-by-case basis of what their definition of how plugged in a family is with the church. I think the overlying goal here is that, yes, we want these ladies connected and in touch and, you know, be invitational, even if they are not in your Sunday school classroom, that
right,
you haven't given them this. We have a couple families that you choose to do that. And so we like to have a distinctive definition, but there's always kind of an exception to the rule.
Right.
Don't be flustered by that. Just make that contact. That's
right. Important. And one thing I don't think I said was, you know, if they're involved in Sunday school is a good gauge. However, even if they're not in Sunday school, don't assume that they're not there on Sunday morning, because they might be helping in children's ministry every Sunday morning or singing in the choir and practicing. So they might be very engaged somewhere else on Sunday morning. So I didn't mean to come across as making that assumption that they weren't there doing something. So they may be very engaged somewhere else, even if they're not in the Sunday school class on Sunday morning. So So just kind of find out where they are and where they're connected. So any other questions? Yes. So your liaison should be getting you notebooks. So Denise, who's, so you know who's giving Marianne notebooks? Okay. So Denise will make sure you're getting notebooks. So, okay, you and Nikki. Okay. Okay, perfect. All right, any other questions? All right, let me pray for us real quick and then we'll go. Sure. We would like for you, we would like
it. I'm trying to get out of here. I'm planning a life here.
Right? how long are you willing to give us, Joe? 3 years, 5 years, we'll take it. No. We would love a 2-year commitment. We found, initially when we started this, we were thinking, oh, 1-year commitment, but then we realized, oh my, 80 women roll off in 1 year. We have to replace 80 people. That's hard because when you're halfway into it, then you have to start thinking about 80 more people. So that's a big challenge. So we would love a 2-year commitment that gives us kind of a year and a half before we have to start thinking about what we're gonna do the next year. So
but
we
you
would. Oh yes, yes. We would love for you to we would love for you to do it longer than that, but we would really be super helpful for if you could do it for 2 years for us. That'd be great. Thank you. Good question. Okay, let me pray. We'll finish. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for these ladies and their willingness to serve the church in this way. Father, I can't tell you how great a help this is to us and to these pastors and to this church. These our pastors especially are so incredibly grateful for this, for these ladies, for this ministry, for this help, and thank you that we can serve them in this way. And I pray that much fruit would come from this, that you would give us wisdom as we reach out to the women, that you would give us wisdom when to contact them, how to contact them, give us the words to say, just the way, the right way, or wisdom and how to engage with each one that's right for them. And Father, even if we come against challenges or come against those who doesn't feel like they want to talk to us, Father, help us not be discouraged and know that we are being faithful and obedient, and that you would be honored and glorified through it, and that much fruit would come from it. And thank you for this time this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, thank you. You're dismissed. Thank you.